Welcome to City Harvest Sermon Podcast. Coming up is a word from Pastor Kong Hee.
We are currently doing this series on the kingdom of God, which is His rule or His reign. The rule or the reign of God, they are synonymous. The kingdom of God on earth really began with this man called Abraham, and it was later committed to his descendants, Israel. God made a covenant promise with Abraham. Genesis chapter 17, verse 5, "For I have made you a father of many nations, and I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you." So for more than 1,000 years, the Jews had always believed that God is king of Israel and of all the earth. The prophets looked to the day when God will rule in power over all, and the earth will be filled with His glory as the waters cover the sea. Now, their hope is that one day, a heavenly king will restore Israel, just like David, their greatest king. God's glory will once again come back and fill the temple, and peace will come upon all in the world, and there'll be no more wickedness and evil on earth. But when the Jews returned from the exile, after the 70-year exile, fully repented of their idol worship, faithfully keeping the Sabbath and obeying the law, God's kingdom didn't come. The Shekinah glory was missing from the temple. There was no pillar of cloud by day or pillar of fire by night. What was worse, in 63 BC, the Roman army came and crushed the nation. The people of God came under oppression. Israel was deeply disappointed. And the Jews wondered, "God, where are you? Where are you, Lord? Where is your kingdom as you have promised?" Then John the Baptist came along and he started preaching. "The kingdom of God is at hand." That means the kingdom of God is coming and is now very near. The people were beside themselves. They were going crazy. "At long last, Israel will be restored." The time of restoration, the time of glory had finally come. And then Jesus burst into the scene and he started his ministry. And his basic message was this: "I declare that the kingdom of God has come. It is in me. It is in all that I do. It is in my person and in my mission." So in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 23, Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. So this was his mission, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. He then entrusted this mission to the 12, followed by the 70. Finally, he declared that this is the mission of every believer, every Christian, until his second coming. So in Matthew 24 and verse 14, Jesus says, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world." Where? The whole world. Every nation, every tribe, every tongue. As a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. And so this is what we are doing here every single week. In every service, in every ministry, every cell group, every connect group, whether it's on site, whether it's online, we are preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Why don't we just give God a big hand? Hallelujah. Amen. Okay. John the Baptist was proclaiming that the kingdom of God is coming. He said, Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, "I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." So John the Baptist was saying that the Messiah is coming, and he will be the Spirit baptizer. Firstly, He will fully immerse us in the Holy Spirit. That means He will fill us, immerse us, until we are soaked, saturated, thoroughly drenched, completely overwhelmed by the Spirit of God, until the Spirit is overflowing out of us. This is what the Spirit baptism is. Secondly, there's going to be a baptism of fire. Now, we know that the Holy Spirit purifies us as gold. We even wrote a song about this. But in the context over here, John the Baptist is saying something else. He's saying something different. The next verse, His winnowing fork is in His hand, and He will clear His threshing floor, gathering His wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire. So this fire is not a good purifying fire. Many times in the gospel, Jesus talks about the fire of hell as unquenchable. We are talking about hellfire over here. So John is talking about the fire of judgment reserved for the wicked. So when the Messiah comes, the wicked will be separated from the righteous and they will be judged in the unquenchable fire of hell. Right? So in the mind of John the Baptist, in his mind, this is how he thought. When Jesus comes, the glory of God will return to the earth. The righteous will be separated from the wicked. Hallelujah. Sin will be no more. The wicked will finally be judged. In one single event, one event, when Jesus Christ comes, He will rule over the whole world. He will make right every wrong and usher in a new heaven and new earth. That was His mindset. That was the common belief of all the Old Testament prophets and all the Jews at that time. But when Jesus came, that didn't happen. It didn't happen that way. Not like how He expected. Jesus started explaining. The coming of the kingdom of God is not a single event. There is a first coming and then a second coming. In other words, there is the already and the not yet. The kingdom of God has already come in measure a little bit in this present evil age. But the full manifestation of it is not yet. The kingdom is already here. It is within you. Bring the rule of the king into human beings, into human hearts. But it has not yet changed the world order. The kingdom of God has not yet totally wiped out evil and eradicated sin from the world. So Jesus says there will still be wickedness and injustice. There will still be sicknesses and diseases. There will be hardships and sufferings. Because Satan is still the god of this world for now, for this season. All these will continue until the end of time. Only at His second coming will the kingdom of God be fully manifested. But for John the Baptist, he couldn't grasp that. It's very hard for him to accept that. Because here was the Son of God, the Savior, the Messiah, and yet why wasn't He coming to reign in glory? If the King is here, why isn't He reigning as a King? Why didn't Jesus change the world? So John was looking around and he's a little confused. Why are there still evil and oppression and suffering rampant everywhere? Sinners are still all around. Caesar and King Herod were oppressing all the people. Jesus If you are the king, why aren't you judging the wicked? Where is the baptism in the fire of judgment? Why are you, in fact, so friendly and pally-pally with all the sinners, with tax collectors and drunkards and prostitutes? Why aren't you baptizing the wicked with the unquenchable fire of hell? He couldn't understand. He couldn't understand why isn't Jesus doing all this? So John was very confused. Why are the people of faith still suffering? If I have faith, why am I suffering? See, he couldn't understand. If God is already here, why is it still so difficult? Life is still so difficult. If you are already here, why are all the bad things still happening to good people? So from prison, he sent people to ask Jesus a question. Verse 2, Matthew 11. When John was in prison, he sent his disciples to ask him, ask who? Ask Jesus. Are you the one who is to come? Or should we expect someone else? John was saying, have we followed the wrong guy? Jesus, are you the real deal? Jesus replied. He told his representatives, go back and report to John what you hear and see. And he then quoted from Isaiah 35, which is a passage on the Messiah. He says, the blind receive their sight. Tell John, the lame walk. Those who have leprosy are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised. And the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Church without walls is being done. So Jesus asked John's representatives to reassure him that he was indeed the Messiah. Tell John that the kingdom of God is already here. The scripture, like Isaiah 35, is already being fulfilled today. People's lives are already being transformed and changed. He then added a few more words. He says, blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me. Jesus knew his mission was not what John or many others have expected. Why is it, if I have faith, good things are not happening yet? So he pronounced a special blessing. He pronounced a beatitude. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me. He pronounced a special beatitude upon those who could accept the already and the not yet. The kingdom of God is already here, but the full manifestation of it is still not quite yet. And for every one of you who is facing serious challenges in life and needing a miracle from God today, there is a special blessing for you. There is a special beatitude if you can accept the already and the not yet. So now, when John's representatives departed, Jesus added a word of explanation to the crowd. So we continue, the next verse. In verse 12, and from that time, John the Baptist began preaching until now. So Jesus was saying this, the Old Testament age, the law and the prophets, they had come to its end with John. And since John, a new era has been inaugurated. This new age is like this, and I like the way the NLT says it. From the time John the Baptist began preaching until now, the kingdom of heaven, that means the kingdom of God, has been forcefully advanced. Forcefully advancing. And violent people are attacking it. Ever since John started preaching that the kingdom of God is near, it has been forcefully advancing, dispelling darkness, loosening the grip of Satan, rendering demons powerless. This phrase in the Greek is biazo. And biazo means, what does it mean? Exercising force. Biazo means making its way forcefully. So make no mistake about it. The kingdom of God is very, very powerful. It's very, very forceful. That's why in Jesus' name, every demon must go. Right? So let me encourage you. The kingdom of God is way stronger than the kingdom of this world or the kingdom of Satan. When the Spirit brings in the kingdom of God, every demon must flee. The Holy Spirit is way stronger, invading the house of Satan. Satan may be the strong man, but the Holy Spirit is infinitely stronger. How many of you can believe that? Let's give the Lord a big hand. Oh, come on, you want to clap? Let's give God a big hand. Hallelujah. Jesus already saw Satan being toppled from heaven, falling like lightning. Demons were trembling at the very mention of his name before his presence. The kingdom of God is very, very powerful. But correspondingly, Jesus says this, the kingdom of God expect a radical human response. Violent people are attacking it. Now, let me give it to you in what you're used to, the King James Version. Our church grew up in the King James. The King James says, the violent take it by force. Now, this violent is not a bad violence. It's not talking about bad people who are angry and malicious. No, it means those who are determined. Those who are passionate. Those who are very fervent. It means those who are very enthusiastic. Right? Those who are stirred up on the inside to press in, to force themselves into the kingdom of God, into all that the Holy Spirit is doing. How do you know this is not talking about bad people? All right, how do you know this is true? Because Luke, the gospel writer, he rephrased this exact saying of Jesus Christ, and he said it like this in Luke 16 and verse 16. The law and the prophets will proclaim until John. Since that time, the good news of the kingdom of God is being preached, and everyone, that means those who heard the gospel, is forcing their way into it. So what is Jesus teaching us today? The kingdom of God doesn't belong to the passive, to the sluggish, the sleepy, the dopey, the lazy. No, it's not like that. The kingdom of God is for the determined. It's for the passionate. It's for the fervent. It's for the enthusiastic. Now, you cannot earn your way into the kingdom of God. It's not salvation by works. Yeah. But grace requires a human response. It requires faith to follow Jesus. When you believe, you're not doing any work, right? So, what does it mean? The kingdom of God requires radical obedience and willing surrender. Nothing must stand in your way of the rule of God in your life. He's going to be the king in your heart. Nothing must stand in the way of his kingship. So the kingdom of God is acting powerfully, forcefully in our world today. But it requires an equally powerful response from you. If you want to be a part of the kingdom, if you want to experience the reality of the kingdom in your life. So how radical should you be? Turn to your neighbor and say, you should be radical. Yeah? But how radical should you be? Number one, you should be radical to live a righteous life. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus focuses on four things. Not a lot, just four. Number one, no more anger. No more anger in your life. Number two, no more sexual immorality. Number three, no more lying. No more exaggeration. Number four, no more unforgiveness. Just four things. Not a lot, just four. Right? Everything begins with a decision. You don't need to work for the kingdom. You don't need to work for the anointing. It must be a serious decision, a radical decision on your part. Then the Holy Spirit will give you the strength and the power to do it. Right? You don't need to self-generate the power. You just got to make a choice. It got to be a serious choice. No anger. Perfect purity. Perfect honesty. Perfect love. Now, how radical should you want to live righteously? How radical should you be in wanting to be righteous? Jesus says, if your right eye is causing you to stumble, pluck it out. If your right hand is causing you to sin, cut it off. Now, he doesn't mean it literally, but he's making a point here. You got to be radical in your decision. Depending on the Holy Spirit to live as sinlessly as you possibly can. You must really want that. Because God cannot force his way into your life. He has not made you a robot. You must want to be righteous before you can receive the power to do it. And Jesus knows it's not easy. Our sinful habits has become so much a part of us. Getting rid of it is like plucking out an eye and cutting off your hand. It's so painful, it's like mutilating yourself because you're so used to it. Jesus once told a rich man, a rich guy, get rid of all his earthly possession. Get rid of your money. Get rid of your property. Not because God is against wealth. Because this man's blessing has become his idol. It has become his all in all. It's more important than God. His greed is now hindering him from experiencing the reality of the kingdom. In fact, his greed is hindering him from entering the kingdom of God. So please, don't let any blessing God has given to you become an idol. That's the first thing. How radical should you be? You should be radical to love. God is love. So his kingdom is a kingdom of love. You must let the Holy Spirit pour his love into your heart. And you are soaked in that love. And you are soaked thoroughly and overwhelmingly until the love of God is flowing out of you, oozing and overflowing out of your every action, thought, and deed. See, this is how you should be, radical in love. And the flip side of love is forgiveness. And it's just like what Brother Mark said earlier in the worship. You must decide to walk in a constant atmosphere of forgiveness, 24/7. All the time, you're in a forgiving mode. You forgive your enemies. You forgive your rivals, your competitors. You pray for them. You learn to bless them. Then you speak good things about them, right? You believe the best in people. You believe the best in everyone. Because that's what love is. You decide you're never going to gossip about anyone again. That's how radical you should be. Number three, you should be radical to cultivate the fruit of the Spirit. I've been saying this for the last 2 years. You got to be radical about this. This is the character profile of Jesus. It is the attitude of the kingdom. It is the heir of the kingdom of God. Love, joy, peace, right? Long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. This is the atmosphere of the kingdom of God. Number three, be radical to bear the fruit of the Spirit. Number four, be radical. You should be radical to see the power of God. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of power. Everybody say power. Say power with power. Say power. Yeah. He is the Spirit of faith. So you must learn to boldly believe in the promises of God. Boldly confess. Boldly speak to your mountains that are standing in your way. You must desire visions and dreams to have supernatural encounters with God and to move in signs and in wonders. The Holy Spirit wants to empower you for healing, for deliverance, for works of miracles. Power. Oh, you believe that? Let's give God a big hand. Hallelujah. Come on, you want to clap? Let's give the Lord a big clap. Hallelujah. So Jesus is saying, from the moment John the Baptist started preaching, the kingdom of God has been forcefully advancing. And you must make a radical decision to press into it, to experience the reality of it. And that is the reason why Church Without Walls is so important to us. Because this is how we bring the gospel of the kingdom to the poor and to the needy. And I want you to watch this testimony, powerful testimony of Sister Judy Chang. Let's watch this right now.
My name is Judy. I'm an only child. And though my parents doted on me, they were busy making ends meet and were never home. I started seeking love and company outside. I picked up smoking at the age of 12. By 14, I had already tried every drug that was available to me. My teachers used to be worried when they found out that I was in their class because I was such a terror. Seeking love. I compromised myself in my many relationships. I got into a promiscuous lifestyle. When I was 14, I was caught for rioting. I also had my first abortion. During the 2 years of investigation before my sentencing, I continued living a promiscuous lifestyle, even though I often felt dirty and unworthy. Throughout it all, my cousin Stanley and his wife Jacobs never stopped praying for me. On the day of sentencing at the youth court, when I heard that I was sentenced to the girls' home, I felt I was deemed as a rotten egg. And if people look at me that way, why not make it worse? I thought about how to leave girls' home and start a life of being a drug trafficker. However, my caseworker told me that I will not have any criminal record as I was a juvenile. She encouraged me to change. Stanley and Jacobs never stopped writing letters to encourage me. My parents also never stopped being there for me. Then one day, I decided I really want to change. I started to attend the Bible study class at the girls' home. A sense of peace came upon me as I attended my first Bible study class. From that day on, I looked forward to learning about God. During my home leave and after my parole, I would join Stanley and Jacobs in coming to church. When I got back to school, my discipline master, knowing that I used to be the biggest troublemaker in school, asked me, "Why do you come back? You can never make it." I started to doubt myself, but I thank God for my parents, cousins, and people who believed in me. They showed me what Christ-likeness is about. They believed in me when I didn't believe in myself. They saw the good that God wants to work in me. By God's grace, I managed to ace my studies and even emerge as the top student in my level that year. But in 2000, my dad's business was hit by the economic crisis. He had to declare bankruptcy. I had to start working to support the family. I dropped out of school and stopped attending church. I soon went back to my promiscuous ways. I went back to clubbing and started visiting all the night joints. I would drink until the wee hours, thinking that I could drown my sorrow. The next day, I would go to work reeking of alcohol. I got into relationship one after another, thinking that I'm unworthy and yet craving to be loved. I got pregnant again. As an unwed single, I was so ashamed of myself. So I took things in my hand and went for my second abortion. When my family got to know about it, they did their best to be there for me. I thank God for their love, but I was too ashamed to come back to God. How could God still love someone like me? Life took another turn a few years later. My dad became critically ill. Being the sole caregiver and breadwinner, I was exhausted. I felt hopeless and wanted to end my life. Just then, I heard a very familiar voice. "My child, I'm here for you." The gentleness behind that voice brought back the memories of love and acceptance that I felt when I was in CHC. I broke down and cried, and I started to come back to Christ and realize my worthiness in Christ. For God so loved the world that He gave out His only begotten Son for me. I'm loved and worthy. Things started changing. I stopped compromising myself in search for love and turned away from my promiscuous lifestyle. I found love in God. I started to trust in God's plan for me. I surrendered all to His will. And then I was given the opportunity to work in a charity to mentor youth and to encourage them to be the change they want to see. Though I lost my dad 3 years ago, I thank God that he received Christ before his passing. When one is saved, the whole household is saved. Hallelujah. Soon after, I met my husband. Although he knew about my past, he was very supportive and loved me wholeheartedly. He loves me for who I am. I brought him to CHC service, and during that service, he was so touched as he experienced the presence of God. He accepted Christ. Praise the Lord. I would never have imagined that I would be able to find a man who loved me, let alone find a spouse who is also a God chaser and a God lover. Jesus is indeed a God of promises. He always over-delivers. We completed SOT together last year, and we are now serving in Stanley Cell Group W189 and are serving in the cell group as Connect Group Connectors in mission field and in every way that we can. When there's an unmet need, we will raise our hands to meet it. God does not need golden vessels, but willing vessels. I believe it was the 18 years of continuous prayers of my mom, my cousin Stanley and his wife Jacobs, and the whole cell group W189 that kept me protected all this while. I really thank God that He loved me, didn't let me go, and was always there for me.
Amen. Come on, let's give the Lord a big hand. Hallelujah. Just like how Jesus loves Judy, He really loves you. He's the strength for those who are weak. He's the provider for everyone who is in need. From this week, we'll be starting two new Church Without Walls ministry. I want to invite Sister Dawn Lee to come and share the first initiative that she's going to launch from this weekend. Let's give Sister Dawn a big hand. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Pastor.
Amen. So, Dawn, how long have you been in church?
Pastor, 30 years and 21 years in full-time ministry.
21 years full-time ministry. Yes. And tell us a bit about your family. You're married to a very famous man, right?
I'm married to Pastor Junxian.
Pastor JX, right? Amen. Do you know that Pastor JX has a big fan club over here, you know? And there are a lot, when every time he's preaching, many, many of our members will watch him. Yeah, and you have two beautiful daughters, right?
Yeah, two girls.
Dawn, tell us what new initiative God has put in your hearts and given you a burden that you want to launch in Church Without Walls.
Okay, Pastor. We want to start City Homes, which is Homes with a Heart. It is a foster care initiative that we want to start in City Harvest Church. There's a proverb that says it takes a village to raise a child. And we believe that it takes a community to create an environment, a safe environment to raise a child.
Wow. And how do you get this burden?
When I was 11, my parents separated, and my sister and I were taken care of by my grandmother because my dad has to travel constantly for work. And I mean, not every child is fortunate like both of us, whom we can rely on a relative to take care of us. So with this ministry, we can actually create a safe environment to take care of vulnerable children. Especially in City Harvest Church, we have a lot of strong Christian families. We hope that through this initiative, we can provide these vulnerable children a safe environment, a Christian environment, for them to grow in, Pastor.
Now, I was talking to you, Dawn, just before the service, yes. And you were telling me that fostering and adoption is different.
Yeah. So fostering is not adoption. Fostering is a temporary arrangement to take care of a child when their family is going through a crisis, and we take care of them until they are ready to be united with their family.
So it's just a temporary arrangement.
Yes.
To provide a safe environment, a heaven, a shelter.
Yes.
Just for that season of
their
lives.
Pastor.
In fact, some of our members are already doing it, right?
Yes, Pastor.
And actually, we have this member in our church, the family, they fostered a child. It's a touching testimony. I want you to watch this right now.
Hello, my name is Holly. I am 21 years old. I am a year one student in SMU, and I'm attending N532 cell group in JJ Zone. I have an elder sister called Roxanne, and we live with our mother, Laura, in a single parent family. In 2016, during a church service, God showed my mother a vision of her holding a baby, but at that point of time, she couldn't understand what that vision meant. Shortly after, she heard about how one of the members in the zone was pregnant and she was unable to take care of her baby due to her home environment. She was also unwed and intellectually disabled. So when my mother actually heard about this news, she felt that it was really God's plan for her to help look after this baby. After the church service, my mom came home and told me about how she felt. So when I heard it, I was shocked and really caught unprepared. However, my mom said that we should really step in and help take care of this girl and her baby if we have the capabilities to do so. I knew it wasn't an easy decision as this would really change our lifestyle. We would no longer be as freed up with our time as we had to look after this baby. So I prayed about it and felt the peace that we should reach out and help raise this baby. During the months leading to the delivery of the baby, Johan and Pastor Eileen brought the girl for her checkups and also updated us on how the baby is developing. A few days after her birth, my mother, sister and I went to KK Hospital to bring Ruth back home. When I saw her, I was actually very moved in my heart, because I felt that it was really by His grace that we can be a part of her life. So yeah, Ruth, come here. Okay, say hello. This is baby Ruth and she is currently 5 years old. Yeah, so you can take a seat here. It definitely isn't easy caring for a newborn, and I was only 16 then and had to take on the nanny duties whenever my mother is unwell or physically drained from looking after a newborn. I knew that I needed to share my burden with her as my mother's health is not very good. Besides that, I'm often judged by others who do not understand the situation, because when they see us, it's like, oh, is it a child and a mother? So one day I was in a lift at a shopping mall and I was carrying Ruth, who was only 6 months old then. And I overheard a mother telling her daughter, don't be like her, I'm so young, already have a baby, don't make a mistake like this. So truth be told, I was quite hurt at that point of time, but the Lord encouraged me and told me not to be trapped by the opinion of others, which was what I was struggling then. So through the journey, I learned to build my identity on God's truth. Another time, Ruth was hospitalized due to an asthma attack. We were worried and took turns to take care of her in the hospital. Johan and Pastor Eileen also showed up immediately at the hospital to help stand in the gap and pray for Ruth. In the midst of the busyness helping to take care of a baby at home, I really thank God that it's only by His grace that I did well in my N-level and got 5 points. I was then able to enroll into Temasek Polytechnic straight away instead of having to go through secondary 5. I'm also thankful for a few people, our cell group leaders Mace, Zen and JL, for their care and love for baby Ruth and my mother. Whenever my mother feels overwhelmed or tired, they'll always volunteer to babysit Ruth and even buy her things that she needs. It really takes a village to raise a child. Ruth is really like my own younger sister, and I want to make sure that I'm able to protect her and to watch her grow well. Her cheerfulness lights up our home, and my mother and I also grew a lot closer in the journey as I learned to appreciate my mother for or what she did to take care of me when I was younger. I really hope that our story will encourage those of you who are considering to help foster a child. We don't need to have a lot to be able to help take care of a child, but just a heart to help and to be committed to love the little one. Each day, it is only the love of God that overflows through us for little baby Ruth. And at the same time, we also receive so much love from her. God can really use us to make a difference and save a life.
Come on, let's give the Lord a big hand. Hallelujah. Dawn, I'm so moved by this story. Do you know that somebody has a foster family, one of the possibly the greatest men in all our lives? Jesus, right? Joseph was the foster father. So Jesus himself was being fostered. What an amazing thing. So Dawn, how can we help you?
Okay, Pastor. Okay, so Pastor, in these 4 months, we are actually looking for 10 foster families.
Okay, the goal is...
Yeah, to have 10 foster children.
So you're just going to start small, right?
Yes.
You're just going to try out.
Yes.
And for 4 months.
Yep.
And you need 10 foster families. So we're talking about families here.
Yes. Yeah. Then they must be the parents must be age 25 and above. Minimum commitment at least 4 to 6 months. Married couple.
Married couple.
Yes. Singaporean or PR status with stable income and are medically fit.
Medically fit because?
To take care of the children.
Because you need a lot of
strength. Yeah, a lot of strength, yeah.
You have 2 kids, so you know that.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then, what
and then,
else?
For those singles, or you have a burden to help to support this ministry, you can sign up as volunteers. Age 21.
20 volunteers.
20 volunteers.
20 volunteers, guys.
Yeah.
Age?
21 and above. Commitment is once a month.
Once a month?
Yes.
So it's just once a month?
Yes.
This one, for the family, is 4 to 6 months?
Yes.
This is once a month, okay.
Yes.
And what are we supposed to do?
The main job is to support the foster parents with things like bringing the children for outings.
And?
Yeah.
Oh, bring children. So
yes.
That means, in other words, let's say we have a couple in a cell group that wants to foster. The
yes.
whole cell group can help.
Yes, yes. That's
the
right.
The whole cell group can help.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think it's a... Turn to your neighbor and say, will you pray about this? Can I just say, will you pray about this? Yeah, those of you watching, maybe you could help. Right?
Okay. So, Pastor, if they're interested, they can sign up at this link, chc.org.sg/cww, or they can find out more information from the cell group leader, ZS or Pastor.
Now, you're doing something for those who are interested, right?
Yes. So, next month, October, which is Children's Day, we are organizing a foster care awareness workshop.
This one, October the 8th.
Yeah, which is actually Children's Day on Friday, 8 p.m. We are partnering with a fostering agency to conduct this workshop for anyone who is interested to find out more. So if you have any questions or any concern about foster care, please do sign up for this workshop and we will have the professionals to answer all your questions.
And just now we saw the sister on the video. She was only 16 when she was involved with this together with her mom.
Yes.
This is so amazing. Dawn, we are going to pray for you. Thank you so much.
Thank
that
you,
has a compassion for all these kids.
You,
let's give Dawn a big hand.
Thank you.
Come on, let's give the Lord a big clap. Hallelujah. Amen. Fostering is such an important ministry. God is a father to the fatherless. He sets the lonely in families. That's from Psalms chapter 68. Will you please volunteer? Can you really save a life? You can, you know. Next, I'm going to ask Pastor Gloria Goh to come and share with us what the second new Church Without Walls initiatives that we are launching this week. Can you give Pastor Gloria a big clap as she comes?
Hi, Pastor.
You're here already?
Yes.
Okay, tell us. Now, before I want to introduce you to those who do not know you. Gloria, how long have you been in church?
I've been in church 23 years, full-time 21 years.
You've been in church 23 years, in full-time ministry 21 years. Wow. Okay, tell us.
Right, so we are starting a street light ministry. This is a ministry for the sex workers and those involved.
Okay, just hold on for a moment. Street light, reaching out to sex workers.
Yes, Pastor.
That means those who are prostitutes or involved in the sex trade.
That's right.
Now, how come you got this burden?
Well, I've always had this burden for many years. So 3 years ago, I took a break to be a missionary in Indonesia, hoping to help this group of people. And this burden brought me to the three cities that has the most human traffic in Indonesia. They are Surabaya, Bandung, and Manado.
So you went to Manado, you went to Surabaya, and which one?
Bandung.
Bandung. And you're reaching out to the prostitutes over there.
Correct. To the young girls and women who are being human trafficked.
You're telling me before service that many of them were actually... But they were victims of human trafficking,
right? That's right. So, Pastor, I reached out to those as young as 12 years old, 12 to 18 years
old. I have a photo here. This is a shelter that you are part of.
Yes, a part of, helping them. And many of them, driven by poverty, they have to choose this trade or they'll be tricked into this trade. And also many were being sold by their family to this trade.
So, wait a minute. How old were they?
12, as young as 12.
12 to...
18.
18. So, they are teenage. Are these...
Teenage, yes, these are the girls. Yeah,
these are the people here, 12 to 18 years old, and they are sold by the family.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, so they have a lot of trauma.
You're telling me that, they were sold, one was sold for a handphone?
Handphone, yes, because the parents want a handphone, so they sold the children for a handphone.
So you were here for a year?
Yes, for a year, Pastor.
And tell us, I mean... Wow, you know, I mean, how was it like?
It's very heartbreaking to see them in this. And many of them, they have a lot of trauma.
Yeah.
They was raped. Many of them were raped. They were having a trauma of a bit physical and sexual abuse. So this is very interesting. I was at Bandung. This is a brothel in Bandung.
And this is a brothel in Bandung.
Yes.
And who are these?
These are the kids of the prostitute or the sex workers.
Wait a minute. Many of them are very young.
Very young. You see, they're so young.
and they have kids already.
Yes. They have kids. And they stay in this very, very small room. They stay, and their mom also does their work there. So they get to see what the mom is doing. And also many of them get abused as well by the clients. And so they also, most of them will grow up following their mother's footsteps.
Okay. You came back to Singapore. You obviously had a burden for streetwalkers over here.
Correct.
And so you want to do something now.
That's right. We want to help them because they are the street, the sex workers, they are often among the marginalized and discriminated in society. And yet they're vulnerable to sexual abuse, health risks, and also physical assault. So we want to be like Jesus because Jesus reached out to the outcasts in society.
Amen.
We want to show them God's love.
You're
to
really
them.
Like Jesus, you know. You are. Because you go to those places that Jesus would go. And you sat with them and you talked to them.
Yeah.
Amazing.
We learn from you, Pastor.
No. Okay. Okay, praise the Lord. Tell us, how can we help you?
So we hoped to reach out to 15 sex workers.
So this is our project.
Our
pilot project. Just 15. Not 15. A lot.
Yes. Within the next 4 months.
4 months? Even during this COVID?
Yes. We'll be creative. This COVID, they get very hit very badly.
Yeah. Okay.
And they were looking for female volunteers, age 25 and above. And a commitment is twice a month.
So female volunteers. Guys, you cannot go, okay? Age 25 and above, twice a month.
Yes.
What are the volunteers going to do?
So we'll do a lot of befriending. We also want to conduct workshops like English classes and other classes to equip them so that they can have alternative job.
So you want to help them to find other jobs,
jobs.
Out of the sex trade.
Correct, Pastor.
To find other jobs.
Yes.
Yeah.
We also want to help them with their financial aid.
I assume that many of them are actually very poor.
Yes, they're very poor and they don't qualify for a lot of help by the government.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also medical assistance as well.
Yeah. Okay. Wow, this is amazing. This is so wonderful. And those of you who are interested, write in and inform your leaders. We want to pray for you. And not now, but we're going to pray for you and we're going to support you. How many of you are proud of Pastor Claudia? Why don't we just give her a big hand right now? Come on, let's give her a big hand.
And Pastor, we want to appeal to the church. If they know someone in this trade and need help, please contact us. We want to reach out to them.
Yeah, if you know somebody who is stuck in this cycle of, please contact us. We are here to help. Praise God. Let's give Pastor Claudia another big hand again. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. You know, Jesus is a friend of sinners. He spent a lot of time eating and drinking with prostitutes, tax collectors, and drunkards. So, in these 4 months, we already have seven group of people that we want to reach out to in our Church Without Walls project. We are adding two more. this coming week, right? We can really make the lives, make a difference in the lives of all these people. We are reaching out to 1,117 low-income children, poor elderly people, persons with special needs, youth at risk, teenagers, unwed mothers, foster children, sex workers. We need 182 cell groups, 480 volunteers, 15 families. Target for cell groups already been reached. We need another 140 volunteers and 13 families. If the Holy Spirit is moving in your heart, can you please help? Can you please volunteer? Pastor, myself, I am also reaching out to many of the poor and the needy. Almost every week, I'm meeting with them. If the Holy Spirit is moving in you, will you please sign up? Sign up online, all right? You know, inform your leaders. Either way, those of you watching at home, just click and sign up online. Better still, can you also persuade your fellow cell group members to be involved in Church Without Walls? Especially this week, we talk about fostering. Make it a cell group project. It's only for 4 to 6 months. You can do it. We have hundreds of cell groups. Can you imagine if every cell group foster a child, we can help hundreds of kids. Right? You can do it. Sign up. Pray. Some of you ladies, help Pastor Gloria. Let her not be the only one going to help all these marginalized sex workers. Support her. Pray for her. Help her. Praise the Lord. Amen. Finally, just so you know, again, if you have friends or people in your oikos who really need financial help, doesn't matter if they're not church members. We have our grocery support scheme, our financial assistance scheme, right? As long as you know them, we are able to help them financially. We want to help. Write in to us. Contact our leaders, right? Amen. The kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of God. This is what the kingdom of God is all about. Come, let's all stand up to worship the Lord. Let's be radical. Let's be wholehearted in our desire to press into the kingdom, to worship the King of Kings. Worship Him with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength. Come, let's just lift our holy hands right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah.
Lord bless you and keep you, make His face shine upon you, be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. Amen. Amen. Amen.
want you to do. You know, this is really the Aaronic priest, the Aaronic blessing. It's the blessing of the priest. And the important thing here, especially those of you who are parents here, as head of the family, you're the priest of your family. All you dads, you're the priest at home. If you're a single mom, you're the priest of your family. I want you to declare, as we were singing earlier today, I was in tears because I was declaring as the priest of my house, God, your blessing, come upon son, come upon Dayan, come upon Dayan. Dayan is not even married. I'm declaring blessing on his family, on his children, on his children's children, on my grandchildren. And you do the same. Come on, let's give the Lord a big hand. You know, Pastor Iris, I'm going to declare on Christian, on Kobe, on their children and their children's children. Pastor Meng Hao, on Chloe and on Chloe's children, right? And same Pastor Yilun, Raymond, you should declare on Kelly, on your children and their children's children. Whether you're single, you're married, come on, let's just declare on our families right now. This is for your family. I want you by faith, speak to every mountain. It got to move in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
May His favor be upon you and a thousand generations and your family and your children and their children.
Declare
and
it over your family.
May His favor, may His favor be upon you.
Sick, I'm gonna believe God. I know we are living already and not yet, but Jesus wants us to speak to every mountain. We're gonna command the mountain of cancer to go in the name of Jesus. Why don't we just lift our hands, begin to pray in tongues right now? Everybody in this hall, online, on site, we're gonna pray for those of you who are sick. We're gonna declare healing on those with breast cancer. Eileen, we are healed in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Wilson's mom, you're going to be healed of cancer. Johan's mother, Amelia, Jeremiah's fiance, be healed in the mighty name of Jesus. Ruth Kwan, be healed in the name of Jesus Christ of breast cancer right now. Shuturia Laka, everybody pray in tongues. Ingwe's mother-in-law, be healed in the mighty name of Jesus. Sally Xia, be healed in the name of Jesus. Sheila, Tan Chun mom, Jerry Ann, Priscilla Jean, be healed in the name of Jesus.
Camille Santos be healed of brain cancer. Jesus on the cross took away every infirmity and took away every physical pain, that by His stripes you are healed in the name of Jesus. Serene Oom be healed of blood cancer. Shuduri ala karabahadadea. Shigarabahudi ala karabahadadea. Cervical cancer be healed. Angeline C, your mom is healed of cervical cancer. Be healed right now. Our music director, Alan Chan, be praying for your mom. Colon cancer be healed in the name of Jesus. Colon cancer be healed in the name of Jesus. Different ones. Mr. Koo, Mr. Ng, Yo Kim Bian, Melvin's mom, be healed in Jesus' name. Kidney cancer, Brother Kim Hong, we're going to pray for your mom. We pray that Jesus will take away every pain. Kidney cancer be healed in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Shuduria la karabahadaria la karabahadia. Leukemia be healed in the name of Jesus. Emmanuel, be healed of leukemia right now. Emmanuel is only 4 years old, but we're going to believe God that for complete, complete healing in the name of Jesus. Pastor Kim Hong, how many of you love Pastor Kim Hong? Why don't we just declare right now in the name of Jesus, Kim Hong be healed right now. Liver cancer, go in the name of Jesus. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. Shuduria la karabahadaria la karabahadia. Lung cancer, Tan Li Lian be healed. Lymphoma cancer, Estelle Kylie be healed right now. In the name of Jesus. Ovarian cancer, pancreatic cancer, Tan Beng Kwan be healed of cancer, prostate cancer. Connie, we're going to pray for your dad. Sister Connie and Nick, we're going to pray for uncle to be healed of prostate cancer in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we just pray in the name of Jesus. Repair all those organs that are broken down. What is impossible to man is possible with God. Let the Holy Spirit come in a powerful way. Spirit infirmity, go in the name of Jesus. Thyroid cancer be healed. Hallelujah, be healed in the name of Jesus. How many of you love Pastor May? If you love Pastor May, just lift up your hands right now. Why don't we just pray? Pastor May has been sick since December last year. We're going to pray. I believe he only came to church once in the last 8-9 months. He only been to church once. We're going to pray. We're going to believe God. Come, let's open our mouth and pray in tongues. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for Pastor May right now. We just pray for complete healing. Nothing is too hard for you. We pray for his gout problem. We pray for all the crystals in his body to dissolve away. We pray for all the bones to be strengthened. We pray, oh God, that his kidney will not fail. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray for his heart to be strong. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we declare blessing over all these that are sick. We declare blessing over our staff and our leaders in the church. I stand here as a senior pastor, as the founder of this great church. I declare the blessing of God upon every member, upon every family represented here. Hallelujah.
May His favor be upon you and a thousand generations and your family and your children and their children. Children, may His favor be upon you and a thousand generations and your family and your children and their children.
And behind you and beside you, all around you and within you.
Jehovah Rapha. He is the Lord your healer. The blessing of healing is coming upon you. He is Jehovah Jireh. He is your provider. The blessing of provision is coming upon you. He is the supplier of all your needs. You shall be the head and not the tail. You shall be above and not beneath. You shall be blessed in your coming in. You shall be blessed in your going forth. He is Jehovah Nissi. He is your deliverer. No oppression, no bondage, no addiction will bind you. In the name of Jesus, we loose those bondage. Don't stop. Everybody, just pray in tongues. Those of you at home, just pray in tongues. Shuduria la kira bahadia, Shuduria la kara bahode, Shuduria la kara bahade, Shuduria la kode kira bahode, Shuduria la kara bahade, la kira bahada. Let's declare one more time. Hallelujah.
May His favor be upon you and a thousand generations and your family and your children. May His favor be upon you and a thousand generations and your family and your children and their children and their children. May His presence go before you and behind you and beside you, all around you and within you. He is with you. He is with you.
Give Him the highest praise. Oh, come on, clap your hands, all you people. Give the Lord the highest praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. Amen, amen. Amen, amen, amen. This week you decide. This week you decide you're going to be radical to live a righteous life. This week you decide you're going to be radical to love. This week you decide you're going to be radical to focus on bearing the fruit of the Spirit. This week, you're going to decide, you're going to be radical to see the power of God. How many of you want more and more of the kingdom of God in your life? Hallelujah. Go ahead and give God a big hand. Hallelujah. Some of you are watching, and you have never invited Jesus Christ to come into your heart. Will you do it right now? Maybe you're a backslider. You stop reading the Bible. You stop praying. Will you also invite Jesus to come back into your heart, whether you're on site or you're online? Will you just close your eyes and say this prayer together with me? I want everybody just close your eyes and say this out loud. Say, Dear Heavenly Father.
Dear Heavenly Father.
Thank you for loving me.
Thank you for loving me.
Please forgive me of all my sins.
Please forgive me of all my sins.
I invite Jesus into my heart.
I invite Jesus into my heart.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Fill me with eternal life.
Fill me with eternal life.
I want to experience.
I want to experience
the kingdom of God within me.
The kingdom of God within me.
In Jesus' name I pray.
In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. 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 Let's give God a big hand one more time. Woo! Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's all the time we have for this service. The kingdom of God is here, is full of the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. But God is also waiting for you to make those radical decisions. So you decide this week, God, I'm 100% for you. Well, God bless. You have a great week ahead. Before you go, will you just turn to your neighbors on your left and right and say, this is going to be your best week yet. Come on, just give it a fist bump. This is going to be your best week yet. Amen. Praise God. Let's give God a big clap one more time. Woo! Amen.
We hope you've been blessed by the message. If you have a testimony to share, write to us at connect@chc.org.sg.